Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
The Burt Show.
Do we want to call an audible here and run with this? Like, you guys call up flexing your intelligence. The fact that you know that most don't. We just went around the room. If you want to get in on this, 1-855-BURT-SHOW. I eat walnuts every day, but I'm not really sure what a walnut is, actually. So I Google it during the show because we're very busy in here. And found out that walnuts are not actually nuts at all. Walnuts are the seeds of a fruit called a drupe. D-R-U-P-E. Now you know.
So they're a drupe nut?
It's not a droopy nut.
A droopy nut.
That's sad. That is. So do you have one of those now you know moments? 1-855-BURT-SHOW, because we went around the room and most had them.
Mm-hmm. And this just happened recently. One of my good friends, Michelle, sent me this information about where, like, throwing up the middle finger and saying F you came from, right? Because I am notorious in my friend group. When we take group photos, I like to throw the bird. I'm super mature. Anyway, before the Battle of Agincourt in 1415, the French, anticipating victory over the English, proposed to cut off the middle finger of all captured English soldiers.
Really?
Without the middle finger, it would be impossible to draw the renowned English longbow.
Oh.
And therefore, they would be incapable of fighting in the future. This famous English longbow was made of the native English yew tree. And the act of drawing the longbow was known as plucking the yew, or pluck yew.
You.
Much to the bewilderment of the French, the English won a major upset and began mocking the French by waving their middle fingers at the defeated French and saying, pluck you. Over the decades, Americans have since changed the words to from pluck you to F you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we threw up the bird.
Whoa, bro. The more you know. 1-855-BURT-SHOW. Cassie.
I love these facts so much. This is my favorite. I'll like read them all day on Reddit. So I found out why pirates wear eye patches, and it's not generally always because they lost an eye like you would think. If you think about it, that's a lot of pirates losing eyes. It's because when they're on the ships sailing, they have one eye covered. So when they go below deck, they instantly are acclimated to the darkness and they can just move the patch to the other eye and see immediately in the dark. Then you go back above the deck and that other eye is already acclimating to the dark. So it just makes it easier to switch back and forth between the two.
The more you know. There it is.
I found out another really interesting one yesterday, and this one's especially for parents, why kids don't like vegetables. And it's an evolutionary thing. It's because kids don't like bitter stuff because poisons are bitter. So to survive, children, if they ate something bitter because their bodies are so small, they would spit it out immediately because their brain is registering it as poison. They have more taste buds than adults. So the older you get, you lose your taste buds and those vegetables stop tasting as bitter.
Come on.
Uh-huh.
Unless you call broccoli brontosaurus trees and then they'll eat whatever.
You guys know what Bic pens are, right?
Yeah.
Pretty standard pen.
Mm-hmm.
The top on it has a little hole at the very top of the cap that comes off. Why is there a hole there?
So you don't choke.
So when a kid swallows it, you don't choke. The air goes through the top of the pen. Whoa!
I like the way Cassie answered that, like, duh.
I know.
So you don't choke.
But I mean, didn't it happen? Like, didn't it happen? And that's why they did that? Because
that I don't know.
Yeah.
So why do they know not to eat vegetables, but they'll eat Bic pens? What are those taste buds?
No one said they were smart. It's their lizard brains. All right.
I got an interesting DM from a Burt Show listener trying to give me a different perspective on my attitude on the video that we played yesterday of the 22-23-year-old in New York City that was really stressed out and crying on TikTok because this is her, like, first 9-to-5 job in New York City, and nothing seems to be falling into place for her. She's totally stressed out by this new job. She's having a tough time getting on the train. She doesn't have any time for any extracurricular or any fun. And she just really feels like her life is falling apart right now, right? So we listened to that video yesterday. And then I think we got into like this healthy debate because Cassie has a very different attitude about that video than I did. I'm a big fan of grit and paying your dues. And Cassie's like, hold on a second.
I just, for me, like looking back at it, companies generally don't work that way. It used to be you paid your dues because you would invest in the company and they'd invest in you back. And that loyalty for most companies, I think, Bert, honestly, the way you run your business is very different from mega corporations. It isn't there anymore. You're supposed to switch jobs. And I think there's a realization that why am I pouring all my time into working for this company where I have no life of my own? And I'm not saying don't work, and I'm not saying don't give 100% when you work. Like, let me be very clear. If you get paid to do a job, you do it and you do it well. But why am I giving my entire life to this company that does not give a crap about me, is going to lay me off whenever they want, and I have no life, and I'm just making money for somebody else? And so it's a reinvestment in what do I want out of my life? And my job is what funds my life.
Yeah, and I can feel that. And I do. I hate big business. And you know this. We all work together on a couple of different projects. Cassie is part of Pioneer Network, and she's also part of The Bert Show. I hate big business because of that. How, like, I hate running a business as though you're a number, or I hate big businesses that do that. We have a very tight family here. Take a day off. Something's going on in your life. You do what you got to do. I understand that work doesn't have to be first all the time. But I also know that I have hired people that respect that, that they work so hard that I never have to say work harder. You guys are working harder than I am.
And they don't take advantage of the system.
Right. Uh-huh. So this is the DM I got. And believe it or not, I do listen to you guys in DMs. And when you give me something to really chew on, I like chewing on it. So here you go. Listening to your break today about the young woman on TikTok who just started working and realized it sucks. She says to me, you seem to have a deep obsession with paying your dues and grit. I'm a hardworking person who also values independence. However, you seem to value hard work and grit more than you value happiness. When these kinds of conversations come up, and it seems like there's no room for change in our society for you, paying people for internships, working less hours, taking easier paths, always seems to turn you off. I do think you have to learn some lessons through experience, but I don't think you have to sacrifice, capital letters, years of your life in misery to do so. Can't there be a balance without implying these people weak for thinking our societal norms are trash? She says, I don't know, just a thought. I guess what I mean is that you don't have to suffer to be happy and or successful. All right. So what do you guys think about that?
I think there's something to be said because I know that you worked very hard to get to where you are today. My voice is giving out today. I know that when you work hard and you had to put in years and years and years of grit, sometimes when you see other people have a little bit of an easier time or get cut a little bit more slack, sometimes it can really rub you the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And I can relate to that because I do feel like I've put in the work, but I can understand that you want people to experience the same kind of pain for the same kind of success. So I feel like maybe that's why you tend to grab onto the grit a little bit.
I think that says a lot too about how people responded to the whole idea of people's student loans getting paid off. And those people who had to pay their student loans was like, no, make them pay. I'm like, why wouldn't you want somebody like, yeah, it would have been nice if they would have done it for us, but they didn't. Why not try to help out a future generation when we have mad inflation right now and very different now than it was when we went to school? So why would you oppose somebody getting their student loans paid off to help give them a leg up? It shouldn't take away from you what somebody else is able to get.
And for me, I think when we look at somebody not having grit or wanting that softer lifestyle, it seems like an opposite, right? So you either have drive and you have the grit, or you're basically just going to phone it in. And I think it's in the middle, right? Like, it's, you don't have to have the grit and rake yourself over the coals, but you can still do a good job and show up 100%. And honestly, it's conversations like this that change what the label. We have an 8-hour workday because of the workers. People attribute it to Henry Ford. It's because of the workers pushing back, and that's where they came up with the 888 structure. So it's movements like this that sort of craft the workday and help people evolve into a happier version of themselves.
I think it's kind of like a perspective and attitude thing, because I do agree with what she said at the end, that you don't necessarily have to struggle to be successful, but I do believe that you have to struggle to live. So either way, you're going to struggle. Huh. You're going to have hardships. You're going to have hard times, whether you're successful or you're not successful. That's just the way it goes. And everybody's race is different. Some people are going to have to work harder. Some people are not going to have to work so hard. But either way, you're going to go through things, and how you see it is going to determine like exactly what you do with the things that you have to go through. That's what I think.
Here's where I disagree with this, you guys. And I'm going to piggyback on something you just said. You don't have to struggle to be successful. I think you do. I really think that you do. Now, it depends on what you want at the end of the day. If you don't want to make a whole bunch of money and you want an easier lifestyle, then you don't have to struggle as much. But it depends on where you want to go. You cannot be what your definition of success
there
is.
There it is.
All right.
It's
what your definition of success is. My definition of success looks what it is right now. And I had to bust my ass to get there. So all I'm saying is, like, if you want a high level of success, like a Gary Vee or somebody that you might see online, you have to bust your butt. And if you don't get it, you can't blame that on the system. All right. You can't complain that things are expensive. You can't complain that you're working day and night based on where you want to be, what the end goal is. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
No, you summed it up by saying what your definition of success is.
Right.
And I think that determines as far as whether what your struggle is going to be.
I don't think you're not a successful person if you're making $40,000 a year and you got a couple of kids and you are happy. That to me is the only definition of success, is happiness. Mm-hmm. This is my definition of success. And so I had to work harder and pay dues and really bust some ass to get here. But if your definition is different than that, that there is nothing wrong with that. That's the only definition of success.
No, I completely agree with you. And like for me, my perspective, I think I do both. I think I bust my ass to work hard to get what I want. And then in the end, I complain that I had to work so damn hard to get it. Sometimes you do both.
The Burt Show.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
So y'all have seen that show, What Would You Do?, where you get put in situations and you have to decide how you're going to act. Mm-hmm. Well, I have a version of What Would You Do? Father-Husband Edition.
Sometimes it's fun to be stupid. Everybody gets stupid, stupid.
Everybody gets stupid, stupid. Yo, you don't even know what stupid is. It's about to get all stupid up in here.
All right, I'm going to give you guys a scenario. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to give you three options. And you have to tell me which option you would choose. Your daughter's birthday party is today.
Aww.
You have guests arriving at 1 p.m. Do you, one, help your wife get ready for the party and pick up the cups that she requested? Do you, two, just watch the college football games? Or do you, three, go to the gym for 2 hours?
Which games are on?
Well, it's college game day, and all of them.
All of them.
Literally everybody's playing.
Well, I mean, it don't take that long to get the cup she requested, right?
Mm-hmm. Could do that at halftime.
Yeah, right? You can't do both.
You're not going to do that.
That's not an option.
Let's be real.
Two.
I'm actually, the honesty is refreshing. it's like a spring rain in here. It's so refreshing.
I am picking up the cups before I go to the gym and giving myself plenty of time.
option one and a half, apparently.
Yeah. So I'm going to answer as a man. I'm not going to make the decision that I would make, the smart decision. Instead, I'm going to make the decision that I was forced into this weekend, because while we were all recovering from our family trauma this weekend, heaven forbid we go to a nice cocktail bar in a new city and check out the waterfront downtown. No, I was held hostage in a Buffalo Wild Wings in Pensacola, Florida, because UGA Alabama was on. And heaven forbid we don't stream the thing on our phone. We're at a place everybody wants to go to. No, we're going to a mid-tier sports bar in a small town, so I'm going to.
You were in the wrong on that whole thing, by the way.
So, my friend's husband asked her. He asked. At least he asked. He goes, can I go to the gym? And she's like, okay, the party starts at 1. Yeah, you can go to the gym. Not expecting him to go to the gym for 2 hours and then forget to pick up the cups on the way home.
Oh, yeah, nah. That's a violation.
All right. Your wife was up all night with the bubble guts.
Oh.
Do you, one, take care of the kid all day so she can rest?
Aww.
Do you, two, watch NFL games all day and check on your fantasy football team? Or do you, three, work in the yard?
So I'm assuming it's a Sunday.
It is a Sunday.
Cowboys playing?
It was yesterday. Did the Cowboys play yesterday?
No, actually. We played on Thursday.
Oh, okay.
And they didn't lose?
No, we won.
Even though they had a bye this week?
No.
Well, they played Thursday.
They played Thursday.
Oh, they played Thursday. It's not Sunday. Okay.
Right. I mean, what can I really do for her, right?
You really need breath.
Yeah. Like, you know, I would check on her in between the games.
You have a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Kids watch the game, too, if you trained it right.
Yeah. My kid would be a Cowboys fan.
Okay.
Me and the kid are doing number two.
Okay.
There it is.
You guys are something else. Again, I'm answering as, not as Abby, but as Abraham.
Abraham, yes.
Knowing what my dad would do, he would think, he would choose option C because it's a way to be productive. Be like, well, even if the kids are sick, the yard shouldn't be sick as well. Mm. So I'm going to go outside. I'm going to make sure our yard looks good. So when they feel good, they can go out in the yard. So C.
That's your Abraham voice?
That's my Abraham voice. That's my father Abraham voice.
I'm not working in the yard. That one's off the table.
You're too soft these days.
The other options? I guess I'll hang with the kid.
Oh, that's so sweet of you.
I guess I'll give her a rest. Uh-huh.
This did happen yesterday. I had the bubble guts all Saturday night, and my doting, loving husband took care of the child all day so I could rest in bed. It was glorious.
That's beautiful.
He even brought me food.
Dang, all right.
Whatever I could eat. All right, last one. Your mother has a birthday coming up. Do you do nothing because you assume your wife will get the gift and the card, and she will? Do you buy the gift and card yourself? Or do you ask your wife to get something for your mom?
I would do number two, for sure. I would buy the gift and the card myself for my mom.
Mm-hmm. I'm asking my wife to do it. Abraham's a little lazy.
My mom's got dementia. I can move her birthday. Depends what's going on the weekend.
This has been a hot debate on social media, and women are tired of that mental, emotional load of having to take care of their husband's family, so it's time you step up and start buying the gifts for your own family.
Yeah, I don't want to be a mom, but being a father sounds amazing.
Right? I see it, Abraham. I see it in your future.
The Burt Show.
All right, Mo. So the question is, should anybody under the age of 35 be able to go to a restaurant?
So, yeah, I heard of this rule being implemented in a club up in New York City, but I didn't think it would actually start to be restaurants doing the same. So there's this restaurant called Bliss Caribbean in St. Louis, Missouri, that has a controversial rule that a lot of people seem to be split on, which is no men under 35 and no woman under 30. According to them, the rule helps ensure a grown and sexy atmosphere. And the restaurant claims the policy has been successful, and it just basically ensures a dining experience that's upscale. And they feel like now more restaurants are going to start to go down this line. Houston restaurants are starting to think about doing it. So a lot of local businesses are starting to actually consider changing their policies to not allow any men under 35 or women under 30.
Okay, so I can see this with like bars. or I guess restaurants that have that stress, the like the bar in the back, because they don't want the drama. If you're 21, there's a certain amount of drama and immaturity that goes along with that age when you're drinking.
Have you ever watched an episode of The Real Housewives? It doesn't matter what age you are. These women are in their 50s and they are throwing wine in each other's faces.
Yeah, that gets pathetic at that point. But I can see how the owner would be like, okay, you know what? I just don't want that kind of drama in here. So maybe it'll be less. But a restaurant? I'm not feeling that.
I don't think it's about the drama. I think it's the older people want to be able to use their phone lights in peace. Looking at them.
Maybe it's a tipping thing?
I was going to say that. I think it's also, I mean, you tend to spend more money in your 30s and your 40s when you go out than I think a lot of 20-year-olds would. So maybe they just see it as a way to kind of ensure that every customer that comes in there is going to spend a certain amount of money.
This wouldn't bother me if it was a bar, because I know how it feels when you go to an establishment and you're like, oh, this is clearly the 25 and under bar. But and then when you go to certain other places, it's like, oh, okay, this is like where people my age go. So it makes sense if you want to create a certain kind of atmosphere, because bars are more mingling based, like it's more of a social atmosphere. But for a restaurant, I don't totally get, because who really cares what the age range is there as long as you get to hang out with the people that you came with.
So I contemplated it. Do you remember the restaurant that went viral, Tocoa Riverside Restaurant, because they charged families $50 fees for their unruly children?
I don't remember that.
So
they were charging after the kids were there, and
yes,
if they were out of hand, then hey, y'all, it's $50.
Correct. Okay. So and it has it explicitly written on the menu. There is a charge for what it says, adults unable to parent. That is the charge. Mm-hmm. If you're on an open, right? And so this one family went, you know, and the problem is well-behaved children, there's extremes, but it can be subjective. Mm-hmm. Like if you're not around kids, you're going to see one kid as right. being completely, when other people are like, that kid was so great.
Right.
It can be very subjective. And you also don't know if you're dealing with a child on the spectrum, et cetera. Like there's so many factors, but this, a large group of multiple families went, and at the end of the meal, they all saw this mystery $50 charge. And each one of the families, there was like four of them, they all got a $50 charge for being unable to parent their children.
I understand it. I wouldn't pay it, but no. I do understand where it's coming from.
So my girlfriend and I were in Blue Ridge this past weekend. We were staying on the Tocoa River, and this restaurant was literally less than 10 minutes from our house. Because I was looking to see, like, that way we don't have to cook the whole time. And I started, like, I'm like, oh, this is so cute. It's right. What a beautiful scene, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, wait, something's triggering here. I'm like, this is the restaurant that charges people for bad kids. And I'm not going to lie. I'm like, I kind of want to test this out.
I could see your husband digging in on this one, going, yes, we are going. And we are telling our son to be as loud as he can. Uh-huh. Try and charge me $50.
Remember, Bart's not there. It's just me and my best friend.
Right.
So it's me and Jimmy, my three-year-old, and my best friend Claire and her two girls who are 3 and 6. And I was like, you know what? I really just want a chill weekend. And I don't want to get my blood pressure up if I have to like have a very uncomfortable confrontation encounter with somebody. But the next time we go, I kind of want to go just to like
see how far you can push it.
You should.
Yeah,
I
really
do. Let Jimmy climb the walls in this.
No, I don't want it. I don't want to force him to be bad. I just like he's really good when we go out. I take him to restaurants all the time. He had to spit some food out in my hand, Abby.
He was breakdancing on the table. Man's looked like he was working for tips.
See, good and bad behavior is subjective.
I mean, so when do you charge the $50? When one kid throws his food off of the table, which a lot of kids are going to do. I mean, is that the $50 charge? Is them getting up and running around the restaurant? Is that the line? You just don't know.
I know.
Is it noise based? Is it spilling things based? Yeah.
Yeah. We should all go up. We should all go up and bring our kids. Or have all of our virtual listeners go up there one day.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
The Burt Show.
Is this love for real, or is it just to get U.S. citizenship?
That is what Claire here is wondering. We got her on the voice disguiser.
After watching that debate, somebody actually wants to move here.
I hear you, man.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Yep. Hey, Claire, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good. How are you today?
I'm doing good.
All right. So is this about you or is this about a friend, family member?
So this is about a family member, my sister. So she met her now husband when she was working abroad. And they worked together for about 2 months before they had to kind of separate and do long distance. And then shortly after that, he decided to come move to the U.S. with her on a travel visa. So a lot has happened since then, obviously. So pretty much once he moved here, or right before he moved here, actually, she did find out from somebody that there was some infidelity in the relationship when they were long distance. But she obviously decided to forgive him and move past that and move in together. And shortly after moving together, about 6 months, they got engaged, which isn't surprising because she is a little bit older, so she's trying to settle down and have a family, and they did seem compatible at the time. But then they kind of surprised us when they got engaged pretty quickly and then went off and eloped in the courthouse so he could go ahead and start his visa process so he wouldn't have to be deported and do long distance again, where she feared he might not be faithful. So, fast forward, well, to one, when you're on a visa, with a K-1 visa, she had to sign to be a financial sponsor for him. So that adds a whole another layer of stress to where even if they did get divorced or anything, she is financially responsible for him.
Really?
In the U.S. Yeah.
Huh.
And that is minimum, like, it seems like 10 years of him working. But, like, if he decided that he didn't want to work or if he got hurt or anything, she could be financially responsible for his whole life while he's here. So that's kind of stressful for everybody. But anyway, the past year, stress has definitely built up for them financially as he doesn't seem super motivated to work. They're both entrepreneurs, so he has worked while he's here, but in contributing what she thought was as much as he could. But then she found out he's actually been investing his money into crypto instead of helping contribute towards bills first and their credit card debt. So that's where the big dilemma has happened with this financial infidelity. She asked to sit down and talk over finances and see how much he's putting into crypto. And he just outright refused and said that, you know, you're not my mom. I can handle my finances. And he said that he didn't love her anymore and just would rather get a divorce than looking over finances. So what was weird was that quickly after saying all those hurtful things, and like y'all talked about before, by the time you were in divorce, things have probably not been good for a little bit in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
He has now said, oh, we can try to work it out. I'll sit down with you. But then it was like a whole week before they sat down, and he did log into his bank account. She saw that he didn't have much money in there, and they talked about budget and stuff, but obviously I'm like, if he hasn't been truthful before, he could have just moved around the money. So that would be my fear, but they came up with amounts that he could put towards crypto each month that they'd be comfortable with so he could help contribute towards their rent and car payment and all that stuff. And after agreeing upon that, she found out a few days later he admitted that he put in $100 more than what they agreed upon. So she's just not really sure what to do. Obviously, there's been a loss of trust. They're not communicating very well.
Are they uh-huh. still in a window where if she gets divorced, he goes back to whatever country it was that he came from?
So that's what I'm worried about. So pretty much after you've been married for 2 years, it sounds like it's pretty hard to get out of the sponsorship and to get them out of the U.S. So it's been that 2 year window barely. And then what I'm wondering is, did he change his mind all of a sudden that he doesn't want to get divorced? Because at the end of the year, they have a 3 year meeting with the government. And after that meeting, he can get his 10 year visa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's probably it right
there. I mean,
there.
I'd get out now.
The math is mapping.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I started to check out of the conversation with the first infidelity. The fact that she did that happen while he was in the country already, or he still hadn't gotten his visa.
He still hadn't gotten his visa. He was in a different country at that point.
Yeah, that would have been it for me.
But he was in a different country, so it doesn't count. what happens there stays there.
That's only Vegas.
I don't know. I think it's a new NATO rule. That would have been it for me right there. Because it never gets any better, right? The beginning of a relationship. This dude is doing everything he can to get into this country, and he still can't keep it in his pants. So that would have been it for me. And with all this other stuff lined up, it seems like a pretty easy decision here. This guy, he's a piece of work. I think that I would just let it go at this point.
I'm with you on that one. I mean, the man couldn't be on his best behavior before he even had the visa in hand. That was everything you needed to know. But we've crossed that bridge already. But at this point, I would stop now, count my losses before it gets even worse.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat with y'all. I think this guy sounds incredibly sketchy. I think this relationship should have ended at the infidelity, because that tells me everything you need to know. If you can't behave before you guys are in a committed marriage, then that behavior is going to follow you into that. So I'm with both these guys.
She sounds like she's a determined person and she wants to make it work. But if somebody keeps showing you time and time again that they're not putting in that same effort, it's time to walk away.
Yeah, my guess is as soon as he crosses whatever citizenship finish line this is to where he can stay here, this marriage is over. I'm guessing that he wanted to get back together after the thought of divorce because there was some kind of legal thing that was keeping him in the country. This is just speculation, but there's so much crap going on here. She's the one putting everything into it and is risking everything, and he's showing her nothing. I'd say bail now, man.
Bail now.
And if they do get a divorce, just clarifying, Claire, does that mean how long is she going to be fiscally responsible for him if they get a divorce?
So even if they get divorced, she could still be on the hook for paying anything that he can't make for the poverty level, which I think is around $20,000 a year. Mm-hmm. So whatever he doesn't make, so if he doesn't work at all, he could sue her to pay $20,000 a year, which I don't think he would do at this point because he knows that they don't have that money. But that could change at any point. Even if she's in another relationship in the future, she would still be legally responsible for him unless he decides to give that up himself, which she did ask him, like, hey, if this wasn't about the visa, if it isn't it, then willingly give it up and walk away if you're not happy with me. But of course he's not willing to do that, but she doesn't want to give up on a marriage without trying therapy and stuff like that. But mm-mm. I'm kind of with y'all. I don't think therapy's gonna fix this. And then who's gonna pay for the therapy?
Exactly. Yeah, I feel like this guy is just holding on. He is just 100% holding on until I bail now. Okay.
All right. Thanks, y'all.
I think we're all under the same impression here.
Yeah. Get out of there.
The Burt Show.
I think we all have the same goal when it comes to how long we want to live. At least for me, it's I want to live a long life, but I want to live a long life in a way where I can still get around.
Like, as soon as I have to hire somebody to wipe my butt, that's it. Just take me out, right? And Abby over the weekend has now terrified of growing old.
Oh my God, I'm terrified of aging. I spent the weekend with my lovely, lovely grandparents who have made it to the age of 90. We have wild genes on the Murphy side of our family. Like, everyone lives to be like over 100, which I'm like, don't put me down for that. Like, knock me out around like 80 because I'm the same way. Like, once you got to start wheeling me around, yeah. Like, just take me to the big man upstairs. And it's so funny having a conversation with them because as a 27-year-old, most of my conversations are with people my age. And just the direction that our conversations go versus like what you're talking about at the age of 90 is so different and so dark if you're not thinking about the context that you're in. Because if you're 90, I mean, think about it. What do you really have to look forward to other than like brunch on Sunday and then like, you know, passing away in the near future.
All you're doing is absorbed with like passing away peacefully.
Yes. No, it's so funny. I was having a conversation with my grandfather who, you know, he's 90 years old. He's just like salt of the earth kind of guy, was a pastor for years and just like a nice guy. And, you know, we're having a casual brunch and then all of a sudden he's talking about, you know, every night before I go to bed, I think I could not wake up tomorrow. And I'm like, that's a dark thought. But he just says it so casually because it's just the reality. I mean, they live in a nursing home and they said that's just a really common thing that people just fall asleep and they just don't wake up. And my mom, who's kind of like Bert, where she thinks a lot about death, she's like, well, that's how I want to go. I'm like, can I not enjoy my donuts in peace without thinking about if I'm going to have to cremate you or not?
Mimosa with a side of death.
Not with my 90-year-old grandparents. We were not having mimosas.
Oh, this was my bad.
This was decaf coffee because a little too much caffeine, we're going to send them into cardiac arrest.
I quite honestly, anybody I've ever known that was like 85 or older is so consumed with the aches and pains that they're having that they're so ready to go mostly.
I wouldn't say that's my grandparents' problems. Like my grandma can't really get around. She's 89, 90, and they are the quintessential old grandparents that are like obsessed with each other. Like he saw her one day in 1953 and he was like that one. And they've been obsessed ever since. Oh. So he, you know, wheels her around, gets her in and out of the car, waits on this woman hand and foot. It's like, she has the perfect amount of dementia. Like she's present. She knows who I am, but like, doesn't have to face reality. Like I was like, I want that cocktail when I grow up. I was like, whatever prescription you're on, like sign me up for that. Because it's just like the perfect level. But my grandfather, he has like this bad knee to where, but he doesn't complain about it. It's just very normal for him. I didn't even know he had this problem. It's every now and then his knee will just pop out of place, like to where his calf is going one way and his thigh is going the other. And he just takes it in stride. He's like, yeah, it means I didn't have to get drafted for the war. Like they put me down as 4F, whatever that means. I guess that was good if you didn't want
to
go.
I kind of feel like when you get to that age, you can point to anywhere on your body and there's going to be something wrong with it.
Something wrong. And they're just taking it in stride.
And I want you to remind people, you went to visit them for a very important reason. And I think this is an astounding accomplishment.
Yeah, we went down for their 70th anniversary party. Damn. They have been married since 1954.
But
you said the key word. She said the key word there. They've been obsessed with each other because, as we've said before, there are so many couples that take so much pride in being married for 60 years, but they've hated each other for 55. Yeah. But they made a vow to each other. You know?
We have good marriage genes on our line because my parents are the same way. So they've been, not my parents, my grandparents have been married since 1954. And ooh. Like I said, my granddad has to motor my grandmother around. Like she needs help. And my dad noticed like, this man is tired. He's been doing this. Like they have been this way as long as I've known them. So they've been doing this for 30 years. And my dad texted my grandfather. He's like, we really need to think about getting you some help. So you as a 90-year-old man aren't responsible for getting your wife around. And he sent, like, this is out of a Nicholas Sparks novel. He's like, it is such an honor to love this woman as much as I do and to get to help her through. I'm sitting there like, oh my God, I can't even get a text back.
I want to know that kind of love.
Right? I'm like, dear insane. God, yes. Like they are so sweet, but it is, It is funny, just like the difference. Like, she's just motoring around happy as a clam, and he's over here like death is imminent. And so we finished up brunch yesterday. We're at First Watch, you know, everyone else just having like a sunny good time, you know, getting back from church or whatever in the deep south. And we're getting ready to leave. I'm getting ready to go back to the airport. And we're giving him a hug, and just in a very casual tone, they're like, "It's so good to see you. We don't know if we're going to see you again."
Oh, so
and I'm just like, yeah. And he just says it because it's just a fact of life. Yeah. He's like, "We just might never see you again." And I was like, "So true, Grandpa. See you next year, maybe.
Question mark.
The Burt Show.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.